Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
We're the word association.
We heard
the implication.
Dessert
evaluation.
We're the word
association.
We heard
the implication.
Dessert
evaluation.
We're the word
association.
Ooh la la! Welcome back to the Word Association podcast, a podcast where we three friends each say a word, and that inspires us to talk. There's no good way to describe
this
premise.
There's not a good way to. Yeah, no, it's not a good way to describe the premise.
Yeah, it's just
Hey, everybody, we get each bringing a word that expires. Oh, see, I couldn't even piece it together.
Was that your drive time radio voice?
Oh yeah, I love drive time radio voice. Hey everybody, we got three friends together. We're gonna each get a word. That's gonna have them talk about that word, huh? We're gonna have
gonna
traffic and weather.
We got
the
Rob White, Brett Lyons, and 905. Do your fun new podcast called The Word Association.
I've always wanted to do
a
podcast.
We got the Doobie Brothers live in studio.
No, you don't.
Yeah, we do.
I've always wanted to do a podcast that's just like a like an improvised morning zoo crew. I think that would be very fun. But I think that would be
pretty fun.
That would be hell on everyone's voices. One, and then.
Yes.
Whoever was like the in-studio Foley artist or like soundboard person.
Oh, they blow their brains out.
They blow
yeah,
their brains out.
I think
out.
It would need to be like 15 minutes long. Max.
Yeah, it can't be longer than that.
Like, okay, I think we...
Yeah, we get the joke. Like, this is not going to get better over the course of 45 minutes. Yeah.
It needs to be 15 minutes long and two episodes long.
Yeah.
Short
shelf
very
life
short.
On that.
Yeah.
So in improv, the reason we're doing this podcast, in improv, and the three of us are improvisers, we are inspired by the audience. We get a word, usually a single word, and then from that we perform. We are inspired. We weave a whole tapestry out on stage. That's what we're doing here. We're not going to do scenes. We're just going to chat. And I do want to ask, what is your, from memory, what are the suggestions in improv that you've heard the most? For me, it's probably dildo,
pickle.
Monkey, spatula, pickle, pudding.
Yeah. Pineapple.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people who go to see improv want to say like a funny word, and they think that will lead to comedy.
Harry Potter.
There was
a lot of that.
Well, I think people see you, Rob, and they point and they say, like a lot of children point at you and they say, "Mom, is that Harry Potter?" Because you look like a rugged Harry Potter. You look like if Harry Potter shopped at REI or something.
REI? I'll take that. I feel like I don't feel very outdoors at all. I that's a great compliment. I actually really like that. No, and you know, when I was in college, I worked this job and these guys called me Harry Potter. I was like, I think it's just because I have glasses. But
yes, anyone with dark hair and glasses who's under 200 pounds is going to get called.
And
Harry
you got
Potter.
That lightning bolt on your dick.
Excuse me?
I mean,
well, that's
weird.
The charge. That's
I
what
know,
you
that's
can
so
say.
Weird.
Yeah.
2 a.m. Ocean City, New Jersey. What am I going to do? I was
you worked in New Jersey.
2 a.m. We're in Ocean City, New Jersey.
I was doing
78
I was
degrees.
Drunk in the boardwalk and I got a tattoo.
Yeah, I mean, I never liked when people would like really narrow it down to be like, can I get a location that can fit on the stage? Because it was always like a bathroom or something. Like you'd always have to burn.
Drew Corbett really, was great, and a friend, he always said the inside of a tank when they did that. So people weren't able to move. They had to be really close. Like, you want a location inside of a tank. I'm
always a fan of, can we get a suggestion of anything at all? But yeah, I do. When people are like, can you get a suggestion of, can we get a suggestion of something you'd find in a purse? It was always like comb. And it's like, how many, if we're doing 200 shows a year, how much inspiration can we draw from comb?
Yeah.
So yeah, that always frustrated me. Or the other side
how
of the
many
coin,
greaser laters are keeping a comb in their purse? I feel like they call it a brush, but I guess some of them have
a lot of
comb.
Pink ladies, if you're dating a T-bird. A lot of people would go, the opposite side of the coin was, instead of like spatula and dildo and stuff, people would come in and be like, laudanum, or they'd source
we did
go through Merriam-Webster and they'd be like, let's fuck these people over.
Yeah, we did a show on Sunday and the suggestion was like chubble, and we were like chubble, and it's like chubble, and we're like, great, thanks, chubble. I don't know,
big chubble in Little China, wasn't it?
yeah something like that.
is that a portmanteau for chubby rubble?
I don't know. Either way, it was. I mean, it was fun, but it was just like, I wish I just could add a real
Chubby word. Rubble, of course, being Barney's little brother.
That's true.
Yabba dabba doy.
I mean, TJ and Dave have the corner marketed. I mean, they just don't take a suggestion, and they just assume it's all improvised.
That, Chubble. Yes. If you've never seen TJ and Dave,
so now you can't do it. You can't
arguably the best improvisers, and they simply say, trust us, this is all made up, and then they start. And a lot of people don't trust them, but it is a good way to start where you don't have to interact with the audience.
It's a very good way to start, yes.
But we are going to go ahead and start. Speaking of starting, we're going to go ahead and start. Each of us will put forward one word that will lead to us word associating and having some conversations. I'll go first. My word today is silver.
Mm, interesting. Mm-hmm. Nothing rhymes with it.
No. I mean, right away, just thinking of either like jewelry or you know, cutlery. Mm-hmm. Right away. And I mean, just thinking of jewelry. I don't know.
I thought of Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, because I've been watching a lot of Chicago Bulls basketball because they're
killing
it. Fire at the moment, except for tonight. They lost by like 23 points, but everyone has COVID. So it's
Adam Silver looks not unlike Nosferatu. He looks haunted.
He does. He does look like Nosferatu. That is a great, he looks like, yes, that or like a skinny, what's the cousin from Adam's family? Uncle Fester. He looks like an Uncle Fester that got in shape.
Did you say who is the cousin in Adam's family? Uncle Fester?
Well, yeah.
And not cousin it. Yeah.
Not cousin it. I didn't know how to put it together. I got there.
Who is the butler? Oh, Wednesday. Yeah.
Who is the son and Annie? Daddy Warbucks.
I mean, it's still, I got there with a word association. It's okay. It can work.
Oh, that was great. But he looks like if you told me to take David Stern, who was the previous NBA commissioner, and draw his exact opposite, it would be Adam Silver. Like, David Stern and Adam Silver side by side look like Abbott and Costello.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Laurel and Hardy.
I went, my fiance Gemma and I went to a Bulls Mavericks game maybe 3 weeks ago.
And y'all got crushed.
We got killed, but it was my very first NBA game.
Oh, really?
And it was very enjoyable. I've been to every other major sport, and the major difference, I think, was like how much halftime show shit they do for NBA.
Or just in between everything, right?
In between everything.
The second there's a break, it's like constant sim. I've only been to one Bulls game, and that was my, it was unlike any other sport. It was like,
but they
you
are.
Get no break.
Every
they just
time,
want to keep
it's
you
so fun, though.
Pumped up. No, it's
every,
great.
The Man, halftime, it's great. The end of every quarter, the timeouts, it's almost as if the crew, the people running the stadium and the Bulls ownership, it's almost like they're sweaty from the fearfulness of like people get bored. So it's like nonstop. It's like nonstop keeping the ball in the air. It's very
like
fun.
It's the opposite of baseball, who's like, you could just be bored.
Yeah,
we're not going to do anything.
I mean, baseball an inning ends and it's like, all right, well.
And now we sit quietly.
There's
quietly.
Literally part of baseball called the stretch. Get out of your seat.
Yeah.
Baseball,
it's
very boring.
It's an interesting thing because I think it's just the platform they have is they can get in and out so quickly compared to the size of a football stadium. It would be so hard to get acts and stuff on a football field in enough time to get that. And you don't want to like, you know, you can't really mess with the turf on a football. You know, it's weird, but like basketball, nothing really, unless you're doing like, you know, you're not doing anything with like water sports or anything like that. Like, but yeah, I feel like.
Excuse me?
No, like you're not like doing anything where you're like, all right, let's you have to run down the field with a pitcher and don't spill any of the water. Like they're not doing any weird stuff like that. I don't know. I went on a weird tangent. Don't worry about it.
What I feel like in your head, the NBA halftime shows are like whatever your family reunion is.
I mean, I guess. I mean, I'll tell you this right now. My favorite, absolute favorite halftime show, 100%, is Frisbee Dogs.
Okay,
at a basketball game, they do dogs.
Details.
They do. They've done them before. They do them at mostly at NFL games, and it's been a long time since they've done it. Now, my wife, Mary, she is a Cincinnati Bengals fan, and for the longest time, their halftime show was monkeys riding dogs. Like
little
real
monkeys or big monkeys?
No, like no little monkeys.
Oh, I was gonna say that, like a big, like a gorilla no, on a dog no. would be hilarious. Yeah, I don't like think a struggle
Rob,
for no, that dog.
Hey, Rob,
yeah. At first, just tucked inside my brain, I said, "Dumb question." And then when you said, "You know, that makes a difference," I was like, "Actually, pretty good question."
I mean, it is Cincinnati.
A silverback gorilla on a Pomeranian it's gonna
would
be
hilarious. It is Cincinnati, and they do have some Harambe problems there.
Yeah,
but, it'd be like a T-Rex on a Zumba.
Super tiny, like spider monkeys. And okay, they would be wearing vests and cowboy hats, and the dog would have a saddle on it, and basically the monkey would ride the dog around.
That's some like 1880 shit. Like it's that's what they used to do in like Wild Bill's touring
show. Yeah, but they've done
show.
It like recently. Like you'd think
that's
like
wild.
PETA would have come down on that, but like I think in the last 10 years is when he stopped. But they would do like Frisbee, and then like all of a sudden a dog would come out, and there'd just be a monkey riding it, holding the cowboy hat. Like
so
the monkey would be one-handed riding the dog.
So the dogs still catch the Frisbees, and do the monkeys fall off?
No, no.
They're like tied on, I assume.
They
right?
Or kind
oh,
of.
Yes.
No.
Not like
yeah. They were
tight,
attached,
but I think
yes.
they're like, yeah, I think they make it, because they don't want the monkey to get loose.
No.
Because
no.
that guy gets loose, he's gone.
Yeah. Oh. And your face, everyone, hey, everybody, watch out for your faces in the crowd. No, they were, yeah, they would be like tied on. But no, one dog would go get the Frisbee, and then... If the dog missed the, I think it's the dog missed the Frisbee, the monkey would be in charge with the other dog to go retrieve the Frisbee.
I have to ask, this might be a dumb question. I do have to ask. You said the monkeys are wearing little cowboy outfits.
Yes.
Do they have tiny little guns?
You know what? I don't know. I didn't really check. I tell you this, it is online. You could go on YouTube and 100% look
it's
up.
The first thing I'm going to do when we're
Bengals,
done.
Bengals, that. But Frisbee dog is incredible. That is incredible. My brother, speaking of the NBA experience, my brother had like
he went viral.
He went viral with a Bulls stunt where he it was the Bulls versus the Celtics, and my brother was in the audience with his then girlfriend, and he was wearing a Celtics jersey or a Celtics sweater, and they put the kiss cam up, mm-hmm. and. So they showed, you know, regular people kissing, you know, and then it go to him and her. He's on his phone and she's like tapping him and he's like, no, leave me alone. And then like people start to boo. Then they go right. back to him again and he's still on his phone. People yeah. start to boo. Then they go back to him a third time. Mm. Still on his phone. Like is like, hey, shut up. I'm on the phone. And then Benny the Bull comes up from behind and takes a soda and throws it in his face mm-hmm. and then picks up his girlfriend and runs up to the, you know, the vestibule area. Yeah. A lot of people thought it was real.
The
a lot
thing
of
is, and that, and I think I need to, I think we need to address that. What, how do you think that's real? That's always blown my mind. It like, even that is like pretty over the top. Like even yeah. I've been to games where they do ones with like the guys on the cell phone and they'll put him on the camera and everybody like boos him and he's being oblivious on the phone. And he'll go, yeah, boo, boo. Like he doesn't, you know, the joke is he's booing himself and he doesn't realize it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
like people around him be laughing. Like you, guys have to know this isn't real, right?
Rob, well, I don't know if the last few years have taught you anything. It turns out more than 50% of the nation dumb as hell.
I think because the first three times it seemed like it could be real. Like it seemed like, oh, they were on the kiss cam, he's not paying attention type stuff. Mm-hmm. And you want to think it is. But yes, obviously you know it's yeah.
I've seen
do
one
they still
where it's
do
like
kiss cams, by the way.
Oh is that yeah, still a big thing? Time. Big time, yes.
That seems
now,
like that
COVID time?
Go the way
masks?
Of the dodo.
Oh, that's true. They might not do it now with COVID times, but...
Distance cam.
I was part of a halftime show for the Chicago Bears versus the Washington Redskins. Rob, I did it with your buddy Pete Aiello.
What did you do?
We dressed up as the Hoggettes.
Oh,
which
the
is,
oh, nice.
Which is,
know about this?
If
that's
you don't
amazing.
Know about this, the Washington
yeah, the DC,
football
yeah.
team. Washington football team.
Thank you.
They their fan base is called the Hoggettes, and there's some gentlemen who like dress as women with pig noses. I don't know the origin story of it, but basically we before
they
the actually, game.
Brad, that's they might be dressing as female pigs with lady hair.
That's true.
We don't have to say they're women with pig noses.
Yeah,
right.
You're right. Yeah. Either way, like before the game started, like before all the teams came on the field, like so all the like it was all on us, and like the announcer's like, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome the Washington football team, and then. And their world famous fans, the Hoggets, and then me and Pete came running out behind the team, waving and blowing kisses and everything. And then the Bears mascot, Staley, came sprinting out in an absolute sprint and just clotheslines both of us. And we like throw our purses in the air, and then everyone claps and boos
That's
at us and everything amazing. Like that.
That's what
did you get to meet anybody
stuff?
From the.
No, we got field passes, which was fun. So we got to watch amazing. The game from the field. But cool. Apparently, someone did say that. Like on NFL ticket, because they start showing the game earlier, it was on TV if you had NFL ticket.
That's awesome.
But I'd never been able to find the find the thing. And that also the guy who was the mascot was like, oh, that was so great. Like, we'll have you guys back a ton. Do more bits. Never called us again. But that's silver for you.
That's silver for you. Oh, I also, let's see, brainstorm, second place. Vampires
or werewolves?
Silver bells. I think silver kills vampires werewolves. And werewolves.
I don't remember werewolves no, and silver being
I
don't, an
I
issue.
I think it
silver
kills vampires. Or at least it frustrates vampires.
Let's go over the list.
Well,
kill a vampire.
Like, I want
kill
the
a vampire.
Gold.
Cross.
Is that why?
No, a vampire is just a stake to the heart, garlic, sunlight.
Holy water, right?
Cross, holy
water. Light.
Sunlight.
I'm pretty sure silver... hurts a vampire.
Well, yeah, if you have a silver stake, but if I had a gold stake, I don't think it would matter.
Maybe it's I've seen a lot of silver crosses.
Yeah.
Do maybe. You think a vampire could bite David Cross in the neck and live?
David Cross?
Oh, I get it.
We'll move on.
I get it.
Oh, yes, I get it now. Okay. Yeah. And I'm sorry.
Also,
I
what if you, and if he was standing
David
with his
Crosby
arms out
for some reason?
David
was,
Crosby.
My mind was like, Crosby was like still why is, yeah, why did we bring him up? My brain was not, I'm
also,
back.
Also, silver to me looks like if you got gray wet, like it's just so
yeah,
what's
shiny
silver and gray are basically the same color, but silver's just like a little bit wetter,
shiny.
Well,
or shinier. Yeah,
we're all almost in our 40s, so when we start going gray, you know, when
silver
you get
foxes.
Older, you become a silver fox. And that's another thing that vampires that could kill a vampire, I believe, is a fox.
Most vampires have silver on silver in the their temples. Classic
yes.
vampires.
Yeah, I'm starting to get that too.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm not a vampire, but I am. I've got
yeah, that's
temples.
Right. Yeah, I've got yeah. My gray is coming in right here on the side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not because I'm old, just because you know I can't stand my wife.
Weathered.
Was that a Dracula voice?
Yeah, that was Dracula. Like, oh boy,
till death do us part.
You're killing me.
That was my voice.
You're killing me.
My voice was, but
the things that kill a vampire: silver, a cross, holy water, stake through the heart, and marriage.
My wife. I gotta be married to you forever. Yeah, blah blah.
I would watch a sitcom. If there's a sitcom that was like King of Queens or Everybody Loves Raymond, but it was just like a vampire married to someone and he's like just constantly being annoyed. That would be fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? If it was like The Honeymooners, but it was, you know, over the course of 1,000 years because vampires don't die.
But baby, yeah. We have to do brunch. How many times do I have to tell you? I can't go out in the morning.
But I would like a Bloody Mary.
See, like it writes itself.
Yeah, honey, we're really missing out on an opportunity here.
Honey, I heard you talking on the phone. You said you're coughing? No, I ordered a coffin. You fuck. Oh, this is a terrible. We have to do this.
Oh, it'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Honey,
we have to cast this. We have to write a
pilot.
What's
on this pizza? Well, it's cheese, tomato sauce, garlic, honey.
every time her parents come over, they're like, I don't know where Steve went, but now there's a bat on the ceiling.
Oh, I think your mirror's broken, Steve.
I could really see myself in this mirror. Well, I think we exhausted silver, or at least we exhausted vampires.
That's
so
true.
Let's move on. Brett,
sure.
What is your word today?
My word is automatic.
Mm, that makes me think of Grease, the movie.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I guess I haven't seen it.
I thought you were talking about the country. I was like, why?
Well, in Grease, the movie, Danny Zuko, played by one John Travolta, is building a car called Grease Lightning.
Yes.
He builds it in a matter of minutes during a song.
It's hydromatic.
He not so much builds the car as he dances on top of it, and it magically comes to fruition beneath his feet as he sways his hips. And at some point he says, I think at the beginning he says, like, this car is hydromatic, something-matic, automatic, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And then he calls it a pussy wagon, which...
Really?
Which, as it's a kid, tough. I didn't understand.
What is Grease rated?
Honestly, it is rated... It's rated PG.
Okay, you could say pussy then, PG, I think.
Back then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, oh, mean, yeah, PG, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's, I PG think even today, means, you can get away
well,
with
PG
one pussy.
Well, PG stands for pussy and greaser, so you can definitely have... yeah. You can definitely do...
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, back then it stood for pussy grease.
greasers. either way. No, back then it was... Jaws was PG. That's what I'm saying. There was G and there was
the
PG.
Ratings, the ratings were.
I used to know the first PG-13 movie. I feel like it was Indiana Jones. The first Indiana Jones, maybe?
It might have been.
I don't know that trivia.
Rob, what were you going to ask?
Oh, yeah. Did you ever see the movie The Toy?
Oh, yeah.
With Richard Pryor? Robert,
that was when you were like, that. I never got it when he said that was a pussy wagon. That there was the joke when he first was introduced to the kid, and they were like, this is Master Bates. And Richard Pryor starts laughing. And I remember being a kid going, I don't understand why that's funny. Yeah. But it stayed in my head forever. And then one day when I found out the word, I was like, oh, from The Toy. Like, it clicked. But that stayed that's with fantastic. Me for so long. I was like, I don't understand why Richard Pryor laughed at that. That doesn't make any sense to me. Also, what is it? How do you do it? Ah, no.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of movies, as you grow older, you're like, okay.
Right.
And even with like Simpsons and stuff, there's references where like, I remember as a kid watching the episode with Smithers singing the song for Mr. Burns and everything. And I'm like, this is so weird. And then the first time I watched Citizen Kane, I'm like, oh, they're ripping off whole chunks of this movie left and right.
Oh, yeah. The way I was thinking about it in the sense of like, because, like I said, I've been watching a lot of basketball, kind of back to it, and they always say, like, that guy's automatic. So, like,
when they're in the zone?
Where they're in the zone, they're just automatic. And I've never, ever learned to drive a manual car.
No,
had automatics. And the one time I did drive a manual car, I lied to my friend because I had to move. And like, I had to be out of the house and like, I had to return the U-Haul and I still had some stuff. And I was like, I got to borrow your car. This is a time where I did not have a car. And I was like, can I borrow your car? And she's like, yeah, but it's manual. And I was like, no problem. I know how to drive that. And I loaded the car up and just could not. I had to call Jeff Griggs because Jeff Griggs knew how to drive manual because he used to drive the trolley. And I was like, I know it's late, but you got to come over and drive this car. I was like, could not get it to go. I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't just look it up
brutal.
On YouTube.
When I was in college, I went to go visit my dad. He was living in, I want to say Cincinnati, Ohio? Cincinnati or Columbus, I forget. But I went to go.
Let me ask, were there any monkeys riding dogs?
They were eating chili, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Cincinnati, unfortunately.
But I went to go visit him for like a Saturday, Sunday. Like I only had like a day and a half there and then I had to leave. And he was like, he lured me over there to because I don't have a wonderful relationship with my dad. We have a fine relationship, but it's nothing spectacular. But he lured me over there with the promise of buying me a car, where he's like, come visit, I'll buy you a car. And I'm like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
So I went to visit him.
Hell yeah.
The first day we like hung out and did whatever. And then the next day we went to go look for a car, but like places were closed or like whatever we saw, it just didn't work out. And so he was like, I'll tell you what, why don't you just take my car and then I'll get a car this week or something and you just
seems
keep
like a real seems like a real scam,
real bait and switch. Yeah And so I was like, okay, and this was like a few hours before I had to leave, and the whole plan was for me to drive that car home, so I didn't have a plane ticket or train ticket or anything. So I was like, oh, I don't know how to drive your car because it's manual. And he's like, I'll teach you. So he took me to a parking lot for like 25 minutes, taught me manual, and then I had to drive from Cincinnati to Bloomington Normal, Illinois.
Oh yeah, that's
and
that's,
that was probably like the worst day of my life.
3 hours.
I remember crying.
Did you do it? Did you make it?
I did it, but the sounds the car made, troubles I had.
Okay,
yeah. The amount of times it stalled out, and I hit by the time I hit Indianapolis, which for whatever reason, the like 30-mile radius around Indianapolis is like the worst traffic I've ever encountered in my life. I was like in tears, being like, I never visit my dad again. Like it was awful. Pretty bad.
That's one of those weird things where, does that make you stronger? Was that like a good lesson or maybe not a great thing to do? Probably not a great thing to do to a kid, I guess, is where you land on that. But you got something out of it, I guess.
I don't think the adage is true. Like, I don't think it made me stronger because I don't know how. Like, I don't remember how to drive stick.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not like a skill set on my tool belt now.
But you were in a situation where you were forced to, you were incredibly like, you know, uncomfortable. You didn't know what you were doing and you did it still.
Rob?
Nothing, you got nothing there out of that?
Rob?
Yeah.
I think you just sourced the moment I started doing improv.
Oh, so your dad really fucked you up.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. Yikes.
No, I think you can still get, even if it's a bad, I think you can still get something.
I don't understand. Why manual? Why was that an option? I mean,
I think that was the original option. And then somebody invented automatic.
Yeah,
and
I think then the Ford Model T.
Why would people like manual? Figured, because you just have more control, right?
Yeah, but why would you? It's so much more distracting to drive. You know, you got to have, you're using both feet. You got your hand on the gear
clutch.
Shifter. It's just
yeah,
seems.
Yeah, whatever it's called. Oh, clutch is the foot
seems,
thing. There's my.
Yeah, it just seems insanely too much going on when you should be paying attention to driving.
Counterpoint,
just the car.
Brett. Counterpoint. With automatic, every time I mean, every car I've had since that moment has been automatic. When I get on the highway and just pop it on cruise control, that to me is tough. To like stay focused, stay awake. So to me, automatic is the dangerous one where it's like so many people can just get on the highway, hit cruise control, and then they wake up.
You could also not put on cruise control.
Well, that's not an option.
Yes, it is. You just don't put it on.
But I think in olden days when there was like dirt roads and like.
Oh, yes, in days of yore.
When
yes,
kids were like pushing a hoop with a stick and a Ford Model T drives by, you want to have as much control as possible to not hit that kid.
Well, and also when you when there was no cars and there was a horse, that was all manual. You know, you had to hit that horse pretty good to get it going.
Yeah, you're right.
I went horseback riding in Wyoming and they kept wanting me to kick the horse and I didn't want to do it.
That's a pretty big part of horse riding.
I know.
Wait, you
but
mean
it
like
just felt...
but it sounds. Like those people were pretty mean. They're like, hey, kid, were you a kid or an adult?
No, it was like last year. It was 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I the horse was doing okay. I didn't feel like I needed to motivate him more, but like.
Did you throw out any
yaws? They're like, yeah, just give him like a good kick to the side. And I was like, I don't want to kick this horse. I think he's doing all right. Like, it's okay. And they're like, no, it's fine. I know it's not a punishment, but it's also just like, I also was like, why am I.
Careful with that. I went to this, like, there was a fair when I was a little kid, and they, like, the pony rides, you can, like, ride in a circle on a track, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I'm on this pony, and I've seen those movies, and I was like, I'm going to kick this horse in its sides.
Okay.
And I don't think I was six, or maybe I was six. I remember it vividly, because I just kicked the pony in the sides a few times, and it fucking took off. Running, like galloping, or whatever.
You probably look like a little monkey on there.
And well, it's like, and all you have is that little, knob to hold on to. Like I didn't have like a.
Oh, and then you were holding on to its dick too. Oh man, that horse would probably piss.
No, that would be a big knob. No, I was holding on to that little knob on the saddle, trying not to fall off. The pony was like sprinting.
But wait, it was in the wasn't it attached to the
running
metal
around?
Rod?
No. There was no attachment. No, this was just an open dirt like circle, and so it was just sprinting around in the.
Wow.
I would say rancher, but it was at a county fair, so whatever. I don't know what the title of the person was. They were screaming. Finally, got the pony to stop. They're like, "You never kick!" Oh, I was like crying. My mom was screaming.
How would you
like,
know? A kid wouldn't know.
And yeah, well, I mean, I just saw that.
And then
I've just seen
up for
those
improv.
Movies.
You guys both had traumatic experiences, and then you're like,
don't
I better get
in. Never kick a horse. I'll see you in town square at noon. That would be traumatizing. Have you been on a horse since?
Oh, yeah.
You have? Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, I got it. That was like, cool, lesson learned. Not going to do that again. You know, horses when they walk are great. You know, I've been on horses where they kind of gallop, and that's okay, too. Yeah. But that was, that was an
I want a shirt that says horses when they walk are great. That's a good little slogan.
As I've gotten older, I think I've just watched now so much nature documentaries and stuff like that. I just love them. We went to the zoo like 2 weeks ago over Thanksgiving break. And man, I was depressed.
In
Cincinnati.
Okay.
And like we went and they have like, you know, the gorilla park or whatever. And like, those were you could have just told me that those were straight up people. Like all their mannerisms, everything they were doing was like, these are just humans hanging out. And then I was just like, oh, and then that just, that spurns from the horse and stuff like that, and animals in captivities and I mean, aquariums, small fish, I don't mind. Dolphins and whales, they shouldn't be, they shouldn't be, you know, locked up at all. But like, yeah, I have a real, I guess, kind of issue now with, not that I would ever become, you know, vegan. I'm not a monster. I love eating meat, but I just want them to be free. You know, I don't want them to be in prison.
Well, I'm not having gorilla for dinner, but also I think, you know, I think that might change for you, because I kind of had a similar thing about zoos. Was like, this is not cool, right? But then with kids, like soon you're going to be like, here's an activity we can do.
And they
love looking at animals.
I know.
And
I know. We
go to the zoo all the time.
And I know a lot of zoos are doing two things. They're rehabilitating animals that maybe can't be in the wild anymore because
they got a DUI.
Three strikes. Yeah, three strikes.
Got a DUI.
We rolled on the window. Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. First, my cousin got away with dog homicide. I understand that. And I know that they are bringing some species back. But I think the biggest one is dolphins and whales. I can't stomach that at all. I just can't. I'm not enjoyable with that at all. I'd rather just let them take their chances in the wild.
Should we get a crew together, a la Ocean's 11, and bust out these Linkin Park Zoo animals?
Oh, no, I'm out.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
But here's the thing.
I mean, we got zoo lights going on right now, so.
I'm going on Saturday.
We can't bust them out and let them. I mean, they'll die in Chicago.
Here's the thing. Not only would they die, the minute they got out, they'd probably kill us.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So as much as I want them to be free, I don't want to be the one.
I'm not the one freeing them. I'm not running a you know, a jailbreak here. Yeah. You know, I just want them to be free.
There's nothing you can do because they're not going to be used to the wild, so they wouldn't. Yeah, it's a tough situation.
Yeah. Well, also, it would be pretty tough to break. You'd have to break an animal out of the zoo and be like, "All right, follow me to O'Hare. I got you a plane ticket back to you know the Sahara plains."
And the gorilla's like, "I'm pre-check." Okay, cool.
He's like, I'm from I'm from Algonquin. I grew up here, idiot. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't speak African, all right? I'm from here. How dare you?
To go back to your original statement about the horse, I think, Brett, I have to say, I think that's a lot of hubris that you think you are hurting a horse when you kick it. Horses are like,
I understand that.
They are tanks. They are
like
4,000 pounds. They're all muscle. Like, they are absolute tanks.
100%. I just don't. I don't enjoy, you know, I was already weary riding the beast because I'm worried that I'll fall off and, you know, a crest will reave it or something like that. But like, I don't.
It's not really a verb.
It is. I mean, it was when it happened. I just don't like. Yeah, I couldn't kick the horse.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a problem. Couldn't kick the horse.
Couldn't kick the horse.
Speaking of kicking the horse, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more The Word Association.
Nay.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back, and we're all three saddled up and ready to ride on to our final word. Mr. Rob White, what is your word today?
All right. My word is flimsy.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay.
This is a good one.
Mm-hmm. I already know right away what I know is flimsy, and I hate it so much. You ready for it?
You're talking about the theory about Building 7?
No, I'm just kidding. I am talking about paper straws. I hate them so much. I know.
Oh yeah, they're the worst.
There's a pizza place.
You want dolphins to be free, but you won't use paper straws.
Listen,
wow.
I'm not even gonna get into it.
You're at war with yourself, my dude.
No, I'm not. Okay, I am not. Listen, fucking. All we need is two major companies to not fucking dump whatever their whatever gas is, and we're all going to be fine. But they pass the buck down to us that, like, you're going to ruin the environment if you use a straw. It's like, no, dude, just clean up your act and we'll be fine. There's a pizza place by our house that I love. They have super delicious frozen drinks. They have like a frozen like margarita, and they have like this frozen hibiscus thing, but they've switched over to paper straws.
Ugh,
and it's a frozen drink.
Yeah. Ugh,
and gross. Like you literally get one sip out of the straw
and it's funny,
and
yeah.
the whole thing collapses. I'm just like,
it's amazing how superior plastic straws are to every other version of straw. Metal straws, unpleasant, suck. Don't like them. Paper straws, awful.
I got a drink for free. I got a drink for free at a bar because they gave me a metal straw with the frozen drink, mm-hmm. and I sipped on it, and the straw, similar to Christmas Story, stuck to my lips.
Oh.
And I had to pull it off, and my lips were bleeding.
How is that similar to Christmas? Oh, like the kid frozen licks pole.
The kid licks the pole. So they gave me a frozen drink with a metal straw, and obviously, the whole straw got that so cold, and when I got stuck, and I was like, I don't know what to do, and I pulled it off, and like it just pulled the skin off my lips. And I was
shouldn't you have run warm
and they
water
were like,
over it?
Here's alcohol to pour on that wound.
It worked out.
Yeah,
it was the best. I mean, it was pretty darn good. Also, bar's not open anymore, so you know what?
Oh, shirt. Yep. Flimsy makes me think of the other day. I can't remember what we were doing, but Gemma and I were walking, doing something, and we heard the term or saw something about rope, and Gemma mentioned pushing rope, which I've never heard this expression before.
Pushing rope?
Yeah. And I was like, what's pushing rope? And she was dying laughing, and I'm like, I've never heard the term pushing rope. It's apparently when...
That's I mean, that would be my guess. Pushing rope.
Pushing
really
rope.
Really seems like pooping to me.
I mean, I guess so.
Right.
What it is, and I guess this was a term she heard at college. Like she hung out at Princeton College, so I guess this is what the upper crust.
Strike one against this term.
Before
I know the meaning, strike one.
Yeah, this sounds something like yeah.
But it was a term used for if you're flaccid and you're trying if you have a penis and you're flaccid and you're trying to still make activity happen. It's called pushing rope. I always heard it, the phrase, it's
sorry,
not really
sorry, baby. My penis is flaccid. I'm still trying to make it work.
And this is your fault, not all those martinis I had.
And please, can your mother leave tomorrow? I keep pushing rope because I know she's listening.
Maybe if what you pulled on, wouldn't it be called pulling rope?
That's what you do by yourself.
Yeah, that's pulling rope.
Well, I mean.
What was the other term you were going to say, Adel, for that?
Oh, the only term I've heard, and I've heard it, I don't know if I heard it in the movie. I can't remember where I source it from, but I always heard it putting an oyster in a coin slot.
Yeah, I've heard that too, but I don't know where I've heard that from. I mean, I've never would use that term. Or
but that's
pulling rope? What was it again? Oh, pushing rope.
Pushing rope.
Because you're trying to insert, you're trying to push it in, I guess, is the...
I guess. The, I mean, it's... those Princeton boys. They really come up with some...
They need to eat their vegetables up there if they had to coin a term for that problem. Get your head out of the books.
Yeah.
I thought of Prince of Tigers, and then I immediately thought of Tony the Tiger pushing rope.
Yeah, I thought it was just, don't you slam rope in the door?
To pull your teeth?
No, your penis is not working, you slam it in the door when they just call it slamming rope.
Wait.
Sorry, that was more of a Yale thing. I went to Yale, that was more of a Yale thing.
Oh, those
Sorry.
Yale guys.
I got my Ivy League schools mixed up.
Flimsy.
I guess if you went to Brown, you'd call it cleaning rope.
Or if you were at Brown, you wouldn't call it pushing rope. You'd call it making brown.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I'm just doing more.
Yeah, we went off. Yeah, we.
Sorry.
Let's see. Whatever. What other Ivy League schools we got?
Flimsy also makes me think of, I feel like everything I've bought from H&M has like disintegrated. Have you guys ever bought anything from H&M?
Yeah.
Also, I'll buy like, I'm typically a large. I'll buy a large and I can't even button the front button.
No,
the European size. Yeah, yeah.
It's like European.
It's made for like Scandinavian tiny men, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never bought anything. Well, no, I don't think I've ever bought anything from there.
Yeah, Uniqlo is slightly like that. Like some stuff, like I really like Uniqlo and that stuff lasts, but it is very similar. Like some stuff fits regularly and then some stuff is like, oh, like I'm not a, 100 pound, person, whatever.
How do you spell that, Uniqlo?
U-N-I-Q-L-O, I think.
No, there's a Q in there.
Yeah.
But it's out of Japan. It's out of Japan. And so like very much similar with the European
style. I think they used to have a
like
store in downtown. I don't
more
know.
Still.
They still do. Oh, yeah.
They still do. Here,
I'll be honest. It's awesome. It's like a better H&M. Like, you can get sweatshirts for like $10. It's very inexpensive, good quality stuff. Roger Federer is he left Nike to go to Uniqlo. So they have a lot of good workout stuff.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah. I'm sure he went there just for their clothes and not for whatever they paid him.
Shut up. You know what?
Why eat steak when you have hamburger?
There's a reputable sponsor.
I have no doubt. I've been inside the store. I don't think I bought anything. Anytime prices are that low, I'm just skeptical. You know, I mean, like, these jeans are $20. I can't do it because I don't trust the product, you know?
But I'd rather buy a $20 jean and let it disintegrate in like 2 weeks than the same thing happened with like, a $170 pair of jeans.
What's the most expensive pair of jeans you've ever bought?
Maybe $100.
Yeah, I'd say probably $100 or something.
Yeah, and same. For some reason, I can't go mentally over $100.
I can't go mentally over like $100 on almost any clothing besides like a nice winter jacket and like maybe a suit.
Yeah, same. I've definitely
shoes I
have
buy. Shoes. I could go higher than 100.
Shoes, like, I like to stay 100.
Yeah, I would like to do that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
Now we're getting into some 40-year-old conversation.
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean,
wow, this has been my whole life has been those prices. But yeah,
I watched so much Shark. Maybe the most I Shark Tank. That it's like those shoes, those Nike shoes we're buying for like $120. Like, they make those shoes for like $1.
Oh, the markup stuff. Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I think the most I spent on clothing is Patagonia. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember spending a lot of money there. Well, not even a lot of money, because Ross Kimball, I think,
we got a discount
or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But I remember being like, oh, if I paid full price for this would be insane.
Yeah.
I do have a jacket from them that I think I've kept for like 8 or 9 years now.
Yeah,
I
have a sweater.
It up a couple of times. I do actually need a new winter, but it's still like, it's definitely not flimsy. They do last.
Well,
it's a good jacket.
I'd say the stuff I've bought that's been more expensive clothing wise is something I do have for a long time, because it doesn't get manipulated in the wash, which is good, because sometimes obviously the Uniqlo or H&M, you'll wash it once and dry it, and then like it's like, oh, this is now a doll's shirt.
Did you know that was also a saying at Princeton? You get manipulated in the wash.
You know what I mean? Yeah, same thing. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I do love my Patagonia sweater. That is true. Maybe I gotta spend more money on jeans. Maybe I get me some 7 for All Mankind jeans or something like that.
I don't know what that is either. He just made up a brand.
Not like I did, but I believe it is a brand.
I get myself a pair of all 7, and we'll watch them fall. Have you guys ever done, what is the thing I've heard about when you buy? I think it's raw denim, and instead of putting them in the wash, you put them in the freezer. Have you done that?
I think you can do that with any jeans.
Well, Brett, you can put anything in the fucking freezer, but I'm saying this is...
Right. No, there is. It's like raw denim. It's like selvage raw denim or something, and you just don't wash it. It's like stiff as a board. It's so... it doesn't move at all, and you just have to like keep wearing it and keep breaking them in and breaking them in and breaking them in, and you don't wash them because you don't want to lose that...
Salmonella.
Yeah, the rawness of it or whatever. So I guess the freezer kills the germs, and you just keep wearing it. And I read about it, like, after you do that for like a year, you can wash them if you want, and they'll kind of be perfectly fitted to you.
Broken in.
Huh. I got one pair, and they were like expensive, but I got them because there was like a clearance or a sale, and I was like, let me just try these. And I was like, this is not comfortable. I don't know why people walk around in this.
I don't have the freezer space for jeans. I mean, I honestly don't.
I just went to Costco. What am I supposed to do? Basement freezer. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I really don't. I got waffles
speaking
in
of,
there.
Speaking of kicking horses, and speaking of silver in the terms of hi-ho silver, Rob, I know you and I, Brett. I don't know if I haven't talked to you about this, but I know Rob and I are obsessed with a show called Yellowstone on TV. Rob, when I watch Yellowstone, for me, a lot of it is like aesthetic porn, where I'm like, a lot of the guys, I just sit there on the couch and I'm like, I want every fucking clothing item that I see in the show. Mm-hmm. I want Kevin Costner's shirt. I want this guy's jeans. I want these boots. Like, I don't know what it is about like the Wild West. I guess it's not even Wild West. It's
when
just
you
like,
said aesthetic, I thought you meant we're just like the scenery, because that's what gets, I like more.
The clothing aesthetic. Okay. But I do enjoy, I mean, it is.
And I'm sitting there watching Yellowstone pulling rope. You know, it's really, I really love the background and I want those outfits.
But I don't know what it is with me. Yeah. Ever since I was a kid, I've been obsessed with Westerns, and I fully romanticize the West. But more specifically, the clothing aesthetic that cowboys have, with like the double-breasted pockets, the jeans, the boots. Like, for whatever reason, that's a pinnacle of like
corduroy jacket It's pretty nice. Like,
and see, when I watch that, I'm picturing, you know, the bunk where all the ranchers sleep. All I could think about is what that must smell like.
Oh absolute. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit but, and soup.
Yeah. It's a great, I mean, it's a great show. And I just think living that life has got to be so interesting.
I don't want the life at all. I mean, I sleep every day till 2 p.m., so I cannot have that
life. Well, I would want that life, but I would want to live in, like, the main house. I couldn't do the...
You don't want to live in the... No. Yeah. No, I mean, when we used to go to Vegas every year, we'd always just... It would always coincide with the PBR, the Professional Bull Riding Tour, which was great, because then they would open up, like, in Mandalay Bay, they'd have, like, a Western World. And so it would just be, like, a huge marketplace.
Like robots you can fuck and stuff?
Yes. Ed Harris was there signing autographs. I was in Pollock.
I forgot about that movie until just now.
I was in Step Mom and Milk Money.
I was going to say Milk Money. I was in Milk Money.
I love that to Ed Harris, that's his crowning achievement. I was in Pollock. And it's like, you were in 50 movies way better than that.
Yeah. But they would do like a huge Western shop. And so they would have all the gear and stuff like that. And that was always fun. But there you go again. Western stuff, authentic Western stuff.
Yeah.
Way over $100.
Bow ties.
Because you only get, like, you only need like 5 shirts and you just wear them, you know,
all the time.
They last forever. And also the thing about that is if you moved somewhere like that, Adel, you could totally wear it. Totally fit in.
Oh yeah.
You can't bring that look back here. You absolutely can't bring that look back. It's like region. Yeah.
I mean, all I wear anyway is plaid, and I get mercilessly, like every day I get mocked for wearing plaid. I should. That's fair.
Yeah, sure. You're not wearing plaid now, so.
Can I let you guys in on a little secret?
Yeah. Mm.
A few hours ago, I spent $550 buying cowboy.
Buying what?
Like cowboy style clothes. There's a, not fully, it's not like authentic, but there's a brand or like a site called Howler Brothers.
Okay.
Oh, H-O-W-L-E-R.
Yes, I think I've seen that before.
Okay. And all their stuff just looks so fucking cool. And it's a lot of like pearl snap double-breasted shirts with like on the, I really like the style of like on the shoulders there's like little like thread
frizzy
graphics.
Things little frizzy things.
Oh
no, I'm just kidding.
Well, when we were new, I mean, you bought that cowboy shirt with the two revolvers on the shoulder when we were in New Orleans together.
The three of us went to New Orleans, they have a night market off French Street, I think.
Frenchman.
And at the night market there's someone who takes existing plaid shirts from like thrift stores and then they sew on two patches on either, what would you call, like, that's not really the shoulder.
It's not a lapel. Like, I think a lapel is the neck.
It's like the front shoulders. It's the front shoulder. It wouldn't be the back shoulder. It'd be the front.
The frolders.
Yeah, the frolders.
But they sewed on there.
We went to that night market early because I was still sober by the time we hit that night market. And then I was later.
We should say, as the night progressed, we eventually went to a po' boy shop. We went to a po' boy shop and Brett was out of his mind drunk. And so I go, hey, buddy, I'm going to get you some water. Do you want something to eat? And I think you wanted like the chicken breast po' boy or something.
Tenders? It was
chicken tender
po'
boy. That was when I was on paleo then. So I just wanted chicken breast and sweet potato fries.
That's it.
Give me the chicken, whatever. And then the sweet potato fries.
Yep.
So I ordered you all this food and like two things of water. And I think your food was like, it was pretty expensive. It was like $32 for that. And I give
nobody
it to
at
you.
That time at like 2 in the morning is ordering just grilled chicken breast and sweet potatoes.
Yeah, turns out. And so I think you took one bite and then you just threw it into the trash and then you took the bag and like barfed it. Like it was a wild night.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first time ever we went, you told me we went places and that's the first time ever I've been so drunk that I had zero recollection that like
you were like a limp doll.
Yeah.
Speaking of flimsy, you were a flimsy limp doll.
Talk about pulling rope.
I had to carry you back to the hotel. We got to go
pushing
back.
Rope.
Not pushing rope. Oh, pushing rope. Whatever.
What was your here's what we'll end on since we touched on I think something we all love, which is New Orleans.
Mm.
What is, we'll just go around and let's say what your favorite thing is about New Orleans, or even if it's just like what we, I can't remember everything we did on that trip. Here's what I'll say.
I feel like you here's really want to say something. Yeah.
Instead of New Orleans, I'll say my favorite thing that happened. My favorite place in New Orleans is maybe, I like Bayona. The restaurant Bayona is pretty great. And Preservation Hall.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my favorite part of that trip is, I think, Brett, you had left on an earlier flight when we got out of there.
Well, and then, we all got, it was Super Bowl Sunday, and we all got delayed.
Snowed in or something.
Oh, you were going to Florida.
I was
you were going somewhere else.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But I was supposed to fly to Chicago. We were coming home Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. I was supposed to fly home to Chicago Sunday, and then I was leaving for Florida on Monday. And so I couldn't do it. So I switched my flight and I flew directly to the only thing I could do to get out was I had to fly from New Orleans to Dallas. And then I flew Dallas to Florida because that was like the only way I could get out.
Got to go back to go forward.
Yeah. Because I remember watching the Super Bowl in like a DoubleTree hotel.
Yeah, we missed it.
You
we
guys,
at the airport.
You guys
we missed
drove.
It.
My favorite part of the trip was at the end. So now I know why you weren't there with us, Brett.
Yeah.
But then Rob's wife, Megan, and I rented a car and drove all the way in terrible snow conditions.
Awful. I mean, it
drove
was
all the way to Chicago.
Yeah, at first it was fine because it was like New Orleans and Mississippi. Yeah. But
it got
brutal.
Pretty rough. But the wild thing is the entire drive Rob drove. I think it was like 16 hours straight
No, I did a lot. I did like a lot of it. I did the beginning part. Because I was just so mad. She did too. Yeah. Because I was so mad.
I must have fallen asleep.
And like our flight got canceled. I was so mad. It was like, we were like, let's just rent a car. Because it was going to take like 2 days to get back. So I was mad. And I wanted to drive. And I remember it was at some point in Mississippi, we're on a road. We're like pitch black road, high beams on. And you know, I'm just driving. And at some point, it's just like, and that woke you up. And you're like, Rob, do you want to switch? I was like, yeah, I think I'm falling asleep
you're on
the wheel
you're
now.
On
yeah.
He was slowly teetering into the corn. And I'm like, hey, buddy.
Oh, no.
And then I.
That was also. That was also the first time I was introduced to Coast to Coast,
Same.
The radio show.
I didn't know. I thought
and
that
so
was
Rob
a dream.
And I, we were turning through the radio station, and it was like, it was like 3 a.m. We're in
Mississippi or somewhere.
Black,
yeah.
Where it's like you can barely even see the road.
Yeah.
Like you feel like you're dead. And Coast to Coast comes on. And have you heard of this, Brett? Coast to Coast?
Not Casey Kasem.
No.
But
it's
like
something
it's a show where people
call
in.
On at like 2-3 in the morning The original host has passed away. I think somebody else is hosting it now.
Okay.
But it's like people, I think the episode Rob and I listened to is like a woman called in. It's like the host talking about the supernatural and the occult and stuff. And a woman called in and she's
beyond
like,
that. It's aliens. It's
every conspiracy theory.
Everything. And it's not a host that's like debunking. It's a host that like is encouraging.
Got it.
So this woman was like, I keep seeing like my dead husband keeps visiting me at night and it's like really annoying. It's
I think
I'm
it was about
stuff
curses,
done.
Wasn't
or
it?
Or curses,
they were talking
yes.
Curses. Like, and the host was like, oh yeah, that does. Like he was agreeing with the people who were
I thought,
I'm cursed.
I thought he'd laugh or be like, curses don't exist, but he was throwing wood on the fire.
And
Rob and I are like cackling, being like, this is the funniest fucking shit. Yeah. And I think we listened to that for quite a while.
We did it, until it ended. Until it ended, we listened to it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
So, Brett and Rob, what are your favorite things in New Orleans or from that trip?
For me, I just like when you first get there, just put your stuff down and you just walk and you get not like one of the hurricane or just like any kind of drink. Although now I don't know, I'm lame. I would probably just get a glass of white wine and walk around with it. I don't know if that's very cool.
That's your personal wine collection. That's even worse. You bring your own wine.
But there's just something about that. You just know I'm going to have some great food. It's going to be great music. You just know you're going to have fun. Like that moment I really like. Yeah. And I very much remember the first time I was there and we stopped, Adel, you were there and with our friend Arnie and we went to that bar, Two Jocks, I think it was called.
Two Jocks.
That was a sports,
that's a sports bar.
Yeah. But I remember that bartender was like not friendly at all. I forget what Arnie was like. Oh yeah. I'll just have just something interesting. I was like, what do you want to drink? Like not doing it. Like, let me make you something. He's like, just tell me what you want to drink. I'm not even doing
I think
it.
Arnie was like, just this
shot
is our
him
friend,
down.
Our friend Arnie Niekamp. And I think, and Arnie's like 6 foot six and like just a big dude, but like very friendly, very harmless, like very unassuming. And he's like, what would you get? And the guy's like, I don't know. And he's like, well, just make me something fun or make me something interesting. And the guy's like, tell me what you
wouldn't
want.
Do it. Wouldn't play ball.
It was like pissed
ball.
Off.
Yeah.
Oh, that was I forgot all about that.
I mean, similar to what Rob said, it is great of like, it is such a fun walking city. Like at no point you'd be like, we have to get in a cab and go to the other side of town. Like, it's like, no, everything is kind of centralized. But I mean, I love frozen drinks and I mean, I can just get them by the yard there. And so like I can go nuts and, you know, I probably can't handle it like I used to be able to. And obviously from the previous story,
you're a pro back then hanging over.
We went to Pat O'Brien's and like, I think I had two Pat O'Brien's.
Yeah.
Puke was neon red.
Yeah, I know. And that was pre.
It looked like you had frozen consumption.
Yeah.
It's like Nicole Kidman in Moulin Rouge, but with it's ice cold.
I do love a Pimm's cup, and they do it very, very well.
Oh yeah, the Napoleon in House.
New Orleans, yeah. But I mean, I'm a sucker. I do love Café du Mont. I do love getting the beignets and yeah, just sitting outside in that park and just there's always just fun stuff going on, live music, artists and everything like that. It is just such a cool, like it feels like I'm at Disneyland and I walked into like adult Southern part of town. And it's just like, you know, like, but this is their life. This is all their lives. And they're just having
fun. What if Disneyland had an adult section? You're like, just go behind the beads.
Like, didn't they?
That's like a video store.
Yeah, Mickey's in there, but he's gonna look a little different. Just go,
give you a massage.
Didn't Disney World have Pleasure Island or something like that?
Well, yeah, I don't think I'm talking about. But Pleasure Island wasn't. It was just a bar for adults.
You don't get a blowjob from Goofy
at
Pleasure Island.
Yeah, it wasn't Caligula.
You don't get a blowjob from Goofy.
I don't think.
Gorge,
you're a big boy.
What if Goofy gave the best blowjob? And you're like, was he silly about it? Like, no, he was fantastic. There was no comedy. He was tender,
really
attentive.
Good at it.
Yeah.
I knew he was half man, half dog, but in that moment, he was all man.
I couldn't do
that.
Donald
was a great
Duck.
Goofy.
I couldn't do Donald Duck.
Yeah, what were you doing?
I was trying to do Donald Duck.
He's trying
Duck
to do Donald Duck.
Or yeah, Daffy. No,
Donald.
Over.
Donald.
Yeah, Daffy's the other one.
He's like a choking man. Well, I'm excited to go back. Rob and Brett are my two best men for my wedding, so hopefully we get to make it over to New Orleans for my bachelor party. And that's how we'll end, is looking forward to our next trip to New Orleans. Cheers to New Orleans. Now, Brett, you have me saying
New Orleans.
When I usually say New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. New Orleans? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, but now you messed up my sayings.
Either way, it's 45 degrees in New Orleans. The time is 11:58. And in 2 minutes, we're going to have on Coast to Coast. We're talking about 9/12, the day after 9/11. The real shit went down.
Jesus. Well, if you want to send us a word that you'd like to hear on the podcast here, inspire us into some conversations and bits, you can contact us at twapod@gmail.com. That's TWA, standing for the Word Association, and pod, short for podcast, pod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you if you have a word, or if you just want to say hi, or if you just want to yell at Brett or something. So send us an email. We hope to hear from you, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.
The Word Association is Brett Lyons, Adil Rafai, and Rob White. The Word Association theme song was written and performed by Arnie Parrott. Editing was done by me, Julia W.D. Harrison. If you'd like to send a word or two along, please email the show at twapod@gmail.com.